Good day, everyone, and welcome to the debate on Press TV. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. It's important to keep U.S. military presence in Iraq so Washington can keep a close eye on Iran. That's what President Donald Trump told CBS. In response, Iraqi president said that a U.S. president has not asked Iraq's permission for American troops stationed there to watch Iran. The Iraqi president stressed American troops are in Iraq to combat terrorism and actions outside that framework are not acceptable. Iraqi lawmakers are also putting forward a motion to demand the U.S. pull out from their country. In what context can Mr. Trump's announcement be justified? Will the U.S. be able to maintain military presence in Iraq? Now, to start the debate, introducing our guest joining us. So we'll have political analyst Charles Alter from New York and Iraqi affairs expert Zayd El-Issa from London. Beginning with Charles, Mr. Trump says that a U.S. military base in Iraq is perfectly situated to keep a watch on Iran and other parts of the Middle East. So if, quote, there is trouble, if somebody's looking to do nuclear weapons, we're going to know it before they do. Now, the UN nuclear watchdog, the IAEA, has confirmed for about a dozen times that Iran's nuclear program is peaceful. So how can Trump's reasoning be justified?
Well, of course, Mr. Trump has access to intelligence that neither of us or my distinguished colleague have, and there have been reports in the past 7 days in the United States of a former senior Iranian person confirming indeed that despite protestations to the world, despite protestations to the IAEA, that there has been a hostile element of the Iranian nuclear weapons program that's been hidden from all but the very senior most people with inside Iran. So, you know, there are varying views on this. We're not going to settle it on the air, but if you're looking at it from the perspective of somebody charged with protecting the people of the United States, and we have the history that we have, we can't change that history in the Middle East. We have bases, many places in the Middle East, and I think what Donald Trump meant was merely that the base in Western Iraq is far closer to Iran than any other base that the United States might have, in the West.
All right, Zayd El-Issa. Leaders of the U.S. intelligence community also confirmed last week that Iran has been abiding by the nuclear deal, but Mr. Trump called those people naive. So on what basis can the U.S. president, you know, base his judgment of who's doing nukes and who's not, in his words, and when he does not trust even his own people, where does he get this intelligence from?
Well, I think it's highly naive from President Trump, who is a salesman, who is a businessman, who has absolutely no background knowledge of any strategy, and he has based his own agenda or his own Middle East policy as a cornerstone of that is actually backing up, relying on, and helping out and protecting Saudi Arabia for money. That is his intention, and he has been absolutely clear about it. His own intelligence people, who have been handpicked, by the way, they all are people who are loyal to him. He handpicked them, like Gina Haspel, the leader, the head of the CIA, has categorically said that Iran is strictly abiding by the nuclear arms deal, and Iran hasn't moved to violate it, even though that the United States have violated an international agreement recognized by the UN Security Council and signed up by the previous U.S. administration, by the Obama administration, who happened also to care about the security of the United States. He has defied that, he has defied the international community, and he have ripped up the nuclear accord, and he has also defied his national security. The head of the national his national security, Dan Coats, who has said that Iran hasn't carried out any activities which are totally necessary in order to construct or make up nuclear weapons, and that are the most top senior people that he has appointed. He has no information or detailed information other than that he relies upon from his security services. But when there is a stark contradiction between what his security apparatus is telling them and his agenda to maintain and keep those forces in Iraq in order to maintain and sustain, as he said, his watch or monitoring of Iran. And he added on top of that in Christmas, when he visited the American forces, that he wants also to meddle and intervene in Syria, launching strikes in Syria, when we know that his forces in Syria are basically occupying forces. And although they have been invited into Iraq,
what is happening by Trump is
in stark violation of the agreement with the Iraqi government.
Okay. Now, let me ask Charles. The Iraqi president, Mr. Saleh, is saying that American forces are in Iraq for the stated mission of fighting terrorism. Then he asked Washington not to pursue its policies in his country. Would Mr. Trump take heed of this warning?
Well, I think the leader of our country and the leaders of most countries take very seriously what the sovereign head of state says about matters inside a given country. So obviously, I think Donald Trump and his people in the State Department and elsewhere will listen carefully to that. They'll also ask, you know, is this leader representing the interests of the Iraqi people? Does this leader have potential ties to the government of Iran? Does his party? I mean, it's a complex mess out there. That needs to be digested very carefully. And if I may, I just want to correct two things that were stated by the previous guest.
Go ahead.
The first is that the Iran deal should have been structured as a treaty. And because it could never pass in the U.S. Senate, Obama snuck it through. So it's not, it was never, from a U.S. perspective, it was never a legally binding agreement by design, because President Obama and his people knew they could never get it across the line. So that's one thing. And the second thing is, it's a little bit rich sitting here in 2019 when we've had many decades of people inside the U.S. and in Iran and elsewhere carping about the bad intelligence that intelligence chiefs, for example, in the run-up to the Iraq war, you know, we were assured in the United States and people around the world by our intelligence chiefs in the U.S. and elsewhere that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And apparently now we know that there weren't. So I think Donald Trump is absolutely correct, as would any leader be correct, to be cynical about reports that come from anybody, expert or not, because even experts have motives, and those motives must be discerned. Many of these spy chiefs in this country leave low-paying government jobs to make lots of money working for defense contractors and others. So I think Donald Trump is right to be cynical and right to question everybody, particularly those who've been operating in the Washington, D.C. swamp for their entire careers.
Even his own people, Charles? So where should he get his intelligence from?
Well, no, the issue is, in that particular thing, there was a meeting where the heads of the security services were quoted as distilling down views that the press characterized as being in disagreement with Donald Trump. Then he met with those heads and came away with it, and there was a different conclusion reached after the misleading fake press reports. You've got to be very careful with our security services. They're gigantic operations. Many of these people are, you know, the definition of the swamp, and the people who are nominated to be political appointees, many of them, Coates was a senator from Indiana. He's not a long-term spy. So many of them are way behind their subordinates and the people deep in the bowels of these spy agencies. Frankly, I think what we might be able to agree around the world is that the U.S. security apparatus needs to be disrupted and needs to become less of a bureaucracy and more focused on hard facts.
Mm-hmm. All right, Zaid Alisa, there are some 5,000 U.S. military personnel in Iraq. They are there to train, advise, and assist the Iraqi forces in the fight against Daesh terrorists. And you know, Daesh terrorists have been defeated in Iraq with the help of Iran. So isn't it high time American troops left Iraqi soil, as also demanded by Iraqi politicians?
Well, basically, they are there to tighten their grip on Iraq, to consolidate their influence, and to cement their presence. It's got nothing to do with the fight of ISIS. We know that when ISIS actually swept through a third of Iraq, the American forces or the American administration stayed on the fence, refusing to intervene, refusing to help out Iraq. And it was only for the Iranian intervention, for Iran backing up the Iraqi security forces, backing up the popular mobilization forces, which actually spared, which were spearheading and at the forefront of Iraq's fight back against ISIS. It was until the Russian intervened in Syria and Americans were actually scared that the Russians and the Iranians might actually beat them in defeating ISIS, that they actually strengthened their offensive against ISIS. And let me just be clear about one thing. It is not for the American president to decide whether the Iraqi president, who has been elected by the Iraqi people, which happens to be a democracy in Iraq, and he happens to be as well, on top of that, a Kurd who is speaking up for the Iraqi interest, to decide whether he qualifies to be the man telling Trump not to meddle and misuse the treaties between Iraq and America, which are specifically there to combat and confront ISIS. And on top of that, he shouldn't be saying that, because it's absolutely clear, it was recorded and it was also on camera, when the leaders of, or the chiefs of the American security services, Gina Haspel and Dan Coats, spoke to the Senate, and told them clearly and specifically that there is absolutely no threat of Iran violating the nuclear deal. And what he's telling us, that the rest of the world should not respect or honor any agreements with any American administration, because the likes of Trump, who is simply a salesman, a businessman with no knowledge of any strategy, will simply adhere to what Saudi Arabia or the youngster, inexperienced Mohammed bin Salman, who's been paying billions of dollars to help out Trump and to back up Trump and to prepare for his next campaign to actually win the next election. So it's all part and parcel of the agreement between the dictatorship and the tyrannical regime, who has been abusing and torturing people in Saudi Arabia and carrying out murders in Saudi consulate in Istanbul against Khashoggi, and Trump trying to shield him and protect him and protect him and cover up his tracks.
Okay. Now, Charles, Barham Saleh, the Iraqi president, says that under the 2008 U.S.-Iraq Strategic Framework Agreement, Washington has agreed not to use Iraq as a launching, this is direct quotation, as a launching or transit point for attacks against other countries. Is Trump expected to ignore that agreement like it did many others? Or listen carefully to him, as you said.
Again, you know, you speak of one agreement that's in the agreement that's in the public domain. I am not, I don't have a security clearance, but I imagine that with these sorts of matters, there are many, many agreements. Some are public, many are not public. So who knows what the real state of legal play is between the Iraq government and the government of the United States as to what might happen with that base and our forces there. If the only agreement that we have is the one you're talking about, it would seem that there is an issue that needs to be sorted out. But I submit to you humbly that there could be other agreements that are not in the public domain.
Okay, Zaidi, do you want to comment on that? This way we cannot trust what the Iraqi leader is saying.
Well, I mean, the only agreement that we know of is the agreement which clearly states that the American forces were invited back into Iraq after withdrawing, according to the Iraqi wishes, adhering to the Iraqi wishes in 2011. They specifically came back to help out and to back up the Iraqi forces in combating and confronting ISIS. And as far as we can see, and as far as Trump has actually acknowledged and confirmed that ISIS has been beaten. That's what he claimed. Although, again, the security and the heads of the security apparatus in America, which is the main source of information for all presidents of America, and highly respected until Trump came about, who's got a secret agenda and who's hell-bent and steadfastly determined to actually back up Mohammed bin Salman, who wants and who needs to actually turn Iran into the main threat in the region. That is the Trump-Mohammed bin Salman agenda, is actually to portray and to depict Iran as the main source of threat and try to convince the rest of the world that the main source of terror is actually coming out of Iran, when everybody, even the last administration, that is Obama, Biden, and Clinton, have stated clearly and unambiguously that that America's main allies, staunchest allies, Saudi Arabia, under the leadership of Salman and his son, have been the main financiers, logistical provided funding, arming, logistical support, and even salaries to terrorists, and even backed them up with their Saudi ideology, the Wahhabi Salafi ideology, which is the same ideology adhered to and adopted by ISIL and al-Nusra Front.
Okay, Charles, the Iraqi president is also saying that it is of fundamental interest for his country to have good relations with Iran. But it seems that this reminder is falling on deaf ears as the U.S. is seeking its own agenda. Your take, please.
Well, I mean, it's out in the Middle East, of course. Iraq shares a long border and an ancient history with Iran. So naturally, one would want to do one's best as the leader of Iraq to try to strive for good relations with Iran. It doesn't surprise me at all that he would say something like that. It makes sense. Indeed, it makes little sense to me. I've said on previous broadcasts, for my entire adult life since I graduated from college in 78, the United States has had diabolically poor relations with Iran. And, you know, that doesn't make sense when you really think about it, and one would hope that out of all this, eventually we might find a way through this complicated mess to strive for peace, because it's in nobody's interest to maintain a perpetual state of war. I would also just briefly answer that, you know, Donald Trump several weeks ago got in trouble in this country for saying that he wanted to withdraw from Syria and withdraw from Iraq, and he's also said he wants to withdraw from Afghanistan.
No, he's
so
withdrawing from
to
Syria to take his forces to Iraq.
He didn't say he wants to withdraw from Iraq. He never said that. He said we are staying in Iraq, and he's determined, steadfastly determined, to maintain his forces in Iraq.
Right.
That was what
and
he said.
And the 2,000 U.S. troops, Charles, from Syria are going to join American forces, the 5,000 American forces in Iraq. So U.S. will have 7,000 American forces in Iraq. And they're going to be there because President Trump said clearly when he visited Iraq, he told U.S. forces, and also today, again, he told CBS that they are there to closely watch Iran and the other stories that I told you at the beginning of the program.
Fair enough, but isn't it true that within the last week or so there has been militant commentary coming from the government of Iran, both regarding missiles and regarding
militant commentary?
Taking hostile action around the region? I mean,
that's my next question. Okay, when we have Mr. Trump who is saying I'm keeping forces here to watch Iran and talking about nukes, what nukes? We told you about that story.
Right.
IAEA, the UN, everybody, the whole world, Europe, is saying that Iran is sticking to the nuclear deal. So what is this? And I mean, shouldn't Iran feel threatened this way? And Iran is only making those missiles for defensive purposes, and it has nothing to do with a nuclear deal.
Well, there's a contradictory report I can send by email that's publicly available that came out within the last 72 hours.
Yeah, it's good to take a look at that. So, final comments, please. You have 30 seconds each.
Charles,
go ahead. 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's a regrettable state of affairs we're in now. One would like to see peace in the Middle East. I think from the Iranian perspective, from the U.S. perspective, from all players in the region, I don't know how we get there. I am not a strategic expert, but I hope that people will, you know, take some time and try to actually forge a constructive peace in the Middle East prior to 2020.
Good. Zaid Al-Issa, 30 seconds.
I think one of the main reasons that Trump is actually emboldened and empowered, stating very clearly that he's going to keep his forces because the Iraqi leadership has been derelicting and ducking their responsibility, trying to make gains out of American presence. And we clearly remember that Ebadi, the previous prime minister, he was the one responsible for inviting the American troops and encouraging Trump to build up their presence in order to secure a second term. And I have to say that some of the leaders in Iraq who are now criticizing Trump, criticizing Trump openly, but in reality they need and they they want American presence to continue in Iraq in order to make political gains out of it.
Okay, and that we come to the end of this debate. Let me thank our guests, political analyst Charles Orter from New York and Iraqi affairs expert Zeyd Alisa from London. And thank you for watching this debate. We'll see you soon.